when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'm really excited to be working with Freetrade, who have sponsored this video.
Freetrade believes in commission-free investing for everyone. This means you won't pay any commission when investing your spare cash.
While other brokers charge up to £12 per trade, Freetrade doesn't, so you can keep more of your money. And where they do charge, like on FX, it's fair and transparent.
The design of the app makes it simple and easy to use, which is great for any experience level. From beginners starting to educate themselves on the benefits of investing, to experts already in the know.
You can start investing from just £2, and they offer these things called fractional stocks. This basically means you can buy a small piece of expensive US companies like Google, Tesla, and Apple.
With over 700,000 investors on board, they're a Which recommended investment platform provider in 2023. And they've won the best online trading platform at the British Bank Awards 5 years running. This means they're an investment platform you can trust.
Now for the best bit. If you create and fund your account with just £10 using our link, you'll get a free share worth between £10 and £100. That could be in anything from Ford to Dunelm.
Remember, when you invest, your capital is at risk. The value of your portfolio can go up as well as down, and you may get back less than you put in. This is not financial advice. You should always do your own research on what investments are right for you before investing or seek the advice of a professional.
Yo guys, welcome to The Last Lap.
Don't forget to drop a lovely, juicy 5-star rating if you're watching an Apple Podcast or Spotify.
Hope you enjoy, and let's get into it. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Last Lap Show, podcast edizione, in between Grand Prix this weekend. It's your boy Niren, and I'm joined, of course, by Tomo. How we doing, boss?
Good. Good enough. Like, it's hay fever's having its way with me.
Yeah.
Probably tell by my voice, I'm not 100%.
Yeah, we are firmly midway through a heat wave in the UK right now.
We can't deal with it, man.
We don't have the capacity to deal. We don't have the capacity.
Look at the freckles on me, man. Like, I'm not built for this.
Yeah. Look, listen, I've got a bit of melanin, yeah, but like, equally, the UK heat is different.
Yeah.
Because our houses are designed to trap the heat. Like, I always have this out with people from the US. They always start beefing us. It's because our house. Anyway, that's not what you're here for. But it is crazy right now. And we're both ill. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But we're still here. We're still trooping through.
We are.
And we're here for Formula One action.
Of course. Canadian Grand Prix coming up this weekend, which we'll get into a little bit more later. I was there last year. It was very, very hot.
Yeah.
Very hot in Canada. Obviously, we've got the forest fires going on in that region at the minute, mm-hmm. which shouldn't be affecting the race from what we've seen. But yeah, Canada's usually one that's, I would say, a race that is definitely in my top three.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like just tracks and for action that we tend to get at Canada, for me, it's like iconic level. Like, I know. Obviously, you've got like the heritage tracks, like your Spas and Monza and stuff. But like, in terms of just favorite tracks, like Canada is in like the upper tier, like the top tier.
Yeah.
For me to like even driving it on the game is fun. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just.
Yeah, I think it's right at the sharp end in terms of best Grand Prix to go to as well, because the venue is beautiful. It's like a park that is also an F1 track. So it's not like streets that are used, but it's kind of got that hybrid feel to it.
And
kind of the best of street circuits.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Melbourne almost, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and
it's just better.
Yeah, I think definitely.
Like, more interesting, more exciting race. What's been your favourite Canadian Grand Prix moment over the years? Because there's
a lot, you know.
Well, not even necessarily favourite, but I think, you know, there's iconic ones, aren't there? Like whether it's, you know, Robert Kubica's win
and then monster
accident crash, the year later.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Seb switching the boards. That was a good
one. Yeah, that was good. That was good. The peak of the Lewis v Seb era. Obviously that 2011 Grand Prix, Jenson Button's comeback.
All the way through with a five-stop strategy, red flags galore,
rain all over the place. That's another thing. You can kind of get changing conditions sometimes in Canada. Yuki Tsunoda crashing out of the pit lane. You know, there's lots of things, you know, ultimately there's lots of...
Yuki, man. That was such a... I didn't have grandstand seat. So I heard the from the crowd and then like... 2 seconds later on the screen that I was kind of watching to see what was going on, I just saw him plow into the board.
Yuki, what have you done?
What a man. I do want to ask before we crack on, just because I know this one always comes up whenever we go to Canada. How do you reflect on the Vettel Hamilton switching boards, Vettel not winning the race?
I loved it.
Getting time
penalty. No, because the thing is...
Do you, looking back, how do you feel about the incident? Do you agree with the decision that was made, first and foremost?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't. And that might be unpopular. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people thought it was quite harsh at the time.
Oh, I think that's but one of the most disliked YouTube videos on the F1 channel, like the replay of that incident.
Yeah.
It's like no one agreed with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like... He you make the mistake, go across the grass, fine. You know, you've got to like have some sort of punishment for that. That's calm. But like, he didn't push Lewis. For me, he didn't push Lewis into the wall. Like, it was very sort of like that gap was always going to close. And Lewis just kind of went for it on the off chance that he left it open. I don't know. I don't think it was rejoining dangerously. If you want to call it blocking, then fine, whatever. But that's not what they put. That's not what they penalized him for.
Yeah, I thought giving the 5 seconds was poor. I think they should, if they're going to apply that kind of penalty, they just should tell him to swap position.
It was also very inconsistent as well, because there'd been incidents like that, like literally, I think it was Austria, was either just before or just after. I'm going to assume just after, because it's usually after. And like the same, like a very similar thing happened and nothing was given. And it was like, lads, what are we doing? Like, what are these, you know, what are these penalties? You got to have some level of consistency. But the actual moment of Seb switching the board is iconic.
Mate, yeah.
Just the pettiness and like saltiness of it.
Unreal.
Which is quite, I genuinely thought was like, you know, quite rightful. But
you know what I think is a point? Because I agree, like that in terms of that moment, I thought that was great. That was like a sporting moment that was just fantastic. And it was like, yeah, of course he was like, he felt hard done by, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know for a fact, if like a lot of drivers couldn't get away with doing that, because Seb's so loved and so well respected, he could get away with
something like
with Baku when he bumped into Lewis as well.
He could
get away with those things because he was such a fantastic character.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I mean, for me, I think it was a fair penalty.
Do you reckon?
Well, I think you should have been penalised, yeah.
Maybe give what place, yeah, swap positions, at least give you a chance, because they left it. They,
yeah.
5 seconds just means the race is over.
I did a video, mate, it's over a year ago, I think now, and I literally reversed the drivers. So I pretended as if it was Hamilton at front and he'd done it, and then Vettel was coming up. And funnily enough, a lot of people changed their tune. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It does often depend on the driver.
Yeah, right? True.
How people's preference goes. But obviously, Vettel was at Ferrari back then, which wasn't the best time in the end, unfortunately. He had his moments at Ferrari, but dropped even more points in Spain.
Yeah.
What do we, because it feels like Mercedes have got some kind of momentum going now.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Like, do we have any hope? Can Charles Leclerc have any hope in this team, taking him to the promised land, giving him a chance to fight for a championship?
Well, for me, like like you said, the problem is on top of Ferrari's kind of like woes and just like not having that race pace at all. You know, they've still got one lap pace. It's there. But race pace just isn't, you know, the car
finished,
is far
he finished 11th and they still don't really have an explanation.
You know, at the end of the day, it just took too long to get through traffic, you know, and the strategy wasn't great, to be honest with you as well. It was soft.
No, like, it was a weird strategy.
For like 15 laps or something, then soft. And it was a really weird strategy, to be fair. But
I guess they tried to go against the grain. But also you had like Pierre Gasly in P10 and an Alpine. Yeah. And we know that Alpine is you know, the next best, really.
Yeah.
Of the cars. So
best of the rest, I guess.
You can't, yeah, unless you're in a like Red Bull.
Best of the rest.
You can't just take it for granted. Well, you shouldn't be able to take for granted that you can move through the field. But then that's exactly what George Russell did in a Mercedes.
Yeah.
That's what makes that more even glaringly embarrassing for Ferrari.
Charles' first stint was just like really average. I remember watching his like progress. Mm. And I think even like, again, I'm probably wrong, my memory's terrible, but I just remember like looking 10 laps in and being like, this guy's still like in the mire, like fighting like an Alfa Romeo and a Williams. And I would have expected him to at least break into sort of like the top 13 by that sort of stage. Mm. And be making moves. I don't know, the pace of that Ferrari just isn't enough to be able to just cut through a field like that, seemingly. The strategy wasn't great yet, but again, like, you know, you mentioned the momentum that Mercedes have. Alpine look a lot stronger. They're not quite that level of like being able to hang with Mercedes and whatever, but they're like within 10 seconds come an end of a race. Like Ocon and Gasly spent a lot of that, like, sorry, Ocon spent a decent amount of that race, no? Like kind of just off the back of like Mercedes and Aston Martins and Sainz and stuff. And Aston Martin, like Fernando Alonso, did you see that interview where he came out and was like, yeah, that's the last time I won't be on the podium or I won't fight on the podium.
Yeah, yeah.
They're bringing an illegal upgrade to Canada, and a truly illegal upgrade.
Well,
to Canada.
That is the same team that cloned the Mercedes in its Racing Point days, isn't it?
Yes, so, it is indeed. Will they clone the Red Bull? That's the question.
Well, cause, I mean, I know everyone was memeing it, wasn't it, with the green Red Bulls. Yeah. But ultimately, that car is actually quite different when you look at the details of it. I just think that it's, you know, Charles and Carlos were so, they were very displeased, both of them, mm-hmm. with the car. Even, you know, I think Carlos did about as well as he could have and still fell back to fifth in the end, in the race. You know, for me, if you put a Max Verstappen in that Ferrari, I don't think he's doing any better than Charles did in that race, in my opinion.
I think he might get
maybe a
couple points. Like, we're not looking at like top 6, 7, probably not even top 8. It's a strange one. I think more alarming for me was actually Sainz to an extent, because Sainz was like up there and like had really like, technically speaking, like no reason to drop back. Like if Ferrari are genuinely level with Mercedes and Aston, and he dropped back behind both the Mercedes. Yeah. And George
started 11th.
Yeah, George, was it? I swear it was 12, wasn't it?
Oh no, you're right.
He gained five Perez places on the. Perez started 11th. Obviously, you know, I expect him to maybe lose out to Perez because of how quick that Red Bull is. But the Mercedes with one of them starting 12th is like a different story entirely. Like that's a lot of pace in hand that Mercedes had over Ferrari that weekend.
That's what I mean. Like Ferrari can't even be looking at Red Bull right now.
They're not. No, they're definitely not. Because again, like, one lap wise, they can have a conversation with Red Bull.
Yeah.
It's quite a one-sided conversation, but they're at the table.
Yeah.
They're sat there and like names have been exchanged.
Yeah.
It's not gone much further than that. Yeah. There's other people at the table who are like dominating the chat.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're there.
Yeah.
They got in the bounce to let them in.
Yeah, I feel you.
But in the race,
quite early in the night still.
It's early in the night. Yeah. So that's quali. So now that's like 6 to like 9 p.m.
Yeah.
That's quali.
Everyone's got their handkerchiefs on their laps.
Yeah. You know, maybe
it's quite refined still.
Yeah. Maybe we've had like a couple bites to eat. Mm. Someone's got a packet of Nobby's nuts out.
Nobby's nuts?
Yeah. We're high end round here, right?
Decent.
But then as soon as the dance floor opens, guys, you've got to get out of here. You don't have, your ID's not valid anymore.
Yeah.
And that's Ferrari. Oh, that arrive at race.
That's like reverse of like a wedding. You know, when you're only invited for the evening. But imagine like you're only invited for day and then someone kicks you out.
When it's when people
sorry,
start
you're
drinking.
Really boring. Yeah. Like, we don't want you at the party afterwards. Yeah. But you can come to the wedding.
It was nice to see you in a suit. You look great, but off you go.
Off you trot.
In a bit, mate. Have a good one.
But isn't it mad how like, even this time last year, you know, the relative pace Ferrari to Red Bull, it's just, that gap has opened up so significantly and there's no excuse.
Yeah, no.
Like, what is the excuse?
I think we talk about this every week, man. We talk about like this gap sort of extending sort of gradually and how Ferrari were there like a year ago. Is it wider than the start of the season?
Hmm.
I'd say it probably is. I don't know, maybe that's if that's because we're like almost inserting new teams into that gap as well. Mercedes weren't in between Ferrari and Red Bull when the season started at all. Aston Martin were just about, but it was kind of level because Ferrari still had the quali pace and Leclerc broke down and would have finished on the podium. Now, again, it's not a conversation. Mercedes are clear. Aston Martin had an off day, but fundamentally are clear as well.
Well, that's the thing,
and especially
as well,
if they bring in upgrades and Fernando's confident about them.
Yeah, like where the field spread has closed up so much now.
Yeah.
Like Ferrari are now, they're going to get like Alpine are right there. Like they're right on Ferrari's
heels. If the group of like Mercedes and thingy are here and then the rest of the grid's like over here, Alpine are like there. Like they're just waiting in the wings. If there's a late safety car, they're definitely involved, like whatever.
Yeah.
Across a whole race, yeah, calm. They'll drop off a little bit, but a little bit performance. They're in that group as well. Yeah. So
I'm worried. Well, look, at least
it's exciting to be fair.
At least the Ferrari Le Mans team could do the do.
Yeah, man. That's where they sent all their good strategists to.
And their good drivers, Antonio Giovinazzi,
shout out Gio,
Le Mans winner.
Italian, yeah, man. That might be the first time Jesus has ever won Le Mans.
Maybe.
Write that stat down.
Maybe.
I can't imagine it's happened before.
Turn water into bioethanol. did you watch any of it, by the way?
I did not, know.
It was really nice seeing a Ferrari at the front. They had to rely on a little bit of luck. Ryo Hirakawa had an incident in the Toyota.
Yeah.
But mate, it was so nice seeing a Ferrari at the top step, like actually winning something as well.
Because we've been
so starved of that in F1, and obviously Le Mans is, you know, arguably it's part of the Triple Crown.
Mm.
You know, Antonio's got he's got one ticked off on the Triple Crown.
Yeah. It could happen. Look, listen.
Bring him back.
Bring Giovinazzi back to Formula One. Watch him win a championship.
No, but the vibes were just so good. That's with Ferrari winning as well. There's so much more. I wish more teams had that, and maybe it will come in time. I don't know.
Mm.
Do we think any other team could actually like replicate that level of support and following? Because I don't think so. I don't think it's ingrained enough in the culture of where these teams are based now. Because they become more of a global entity.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think with like with Ferrari, there is that element of it is an Italian team following, and if you're Italian, you grow up supporting Ferrari if you're like a Formula One.
Yeah.
No one's being born in Milton Keynes and the family's going, right, you have to support Williams. No one's doing that. That's not happening. That never happened. In the UK, that culture just doesn't really exist.
Well, maybe we need to start, everyone.
Maybe we do. Watching. Maybe we
convert
do.
Convert them early.
Yeah. Just make them wear orange from the get-go and boom, you're a McLaren fan.
But that's the thing, it's like Ferrari, you know.
Even branding changes with
yeah.
Ferrari is red.
Yeah.
McLaren have gone through eras of, even that is like, I feel like associative with Ferrari's following and like cult status.
Yeah.
Is that it's just been what it is since the start,
yeah.
since the genesis of like F1.
Yeah.
Whereas McLaren have evolved, Williams have evolved, even like teams that have gone and come back and whatever. Red Bull probably won't be here forever.
Well, like,
you know,
like,
I don't know.
Like people loved Minardi because that was like the little plucky Italian team.
And then
it rebranded Toro Rosso and then it's AlphaTauri. It's like a Pez team.
They just
come up with some random, like it's difficult to build that legacy of connection to a team.
Mm.
I don't think we'll ever get that in F1. I think the Ferrari is the closest we'll ever get. I don't think any other team. I think the other teams try, of course, right?
Yeah.
They want to, you know, McLaren, I think, are really good. Williams are good at like really engaging. Aston Martin are doing a good job at that as well, like engaging.
Yeah, but even imagine you were a dad and like 20 years ago and you were like, right, my son is going to be a Jordan fan. Fam! You've been through
Which
about
Jordan?
17 name changes by now. And you're 21. Like, it's crazy. Like, Jordan, what? Jordan?
Oh, Jordan.
Midland, Spiker,
yep.
Force India.
Yeah. Racing
Point. Racing Point.
Aston Martin.
Yeah, no, impossible.
Yeah, it's a bit much, isn't it?
If I need to write it on my hand, then I'm not going to, you know, I can't back that.
You can't, you're right. I don't think we'll ever get there, but what we may get one day because he was asked about it. Mm. And certainly Mr. Max Verstappen.
Mm.
The possibility of driving for Ferrari one day. Mm. He didn't rule it out. To quote, he said, it would require them to build the fastest car on the grid. I know Ferrari has an amazing history in Formula One and is an amazing team to race for, but I always said to myself, I just want to be in the fastest car.
Yeah, he's going there.
Is he loyal? Because look, we talk about Leclerc loyalty to Ferrari,
yeah.
And it is one of those teams that it does have that pull.
Yeah,
of course. Facts. So if Ferrari built the quickest car, it does feel like Red Bull really doing it all they can, not just the racing team, but the brand, to really tie themselves to Max, because he's got that Verstappen.com racing, which is in partnership with Red Bull. So he's like, a lot of his sim racing stuff is, you know, Red Bull really affiliated close to that.
Yeah.
You know, if Red Bull became equivalent to what Mercedes are now to Red Bull, would he jump ship? Do you think? Do you think he'd go?
I mean, based off that quote, for all of what we've talked about with Ferrari, it always, as we mentioned, comes back to the brand and comes back to the pull that Ferrari actually do have. You know, regardless of tough times never last. The tough times, whatever tough times they go through, they are Ferrari. Mm. And as soon as they're back within the chance of winning a title, everyone will go, yeah, I'd love to drive for Ferrari. I'd love to bring a title back to the Tifosi or whatever. Mm. You know, at the end of the day, when Verstappen, 2028 is when his contract expires, right? Yep. By that point, I feel like Max Verstappen is, I don't know him as a man, if I'm going to be totally real with you, but I feel like any man would be up for a new challenge of some kind. You know, we've spoken about whether it would be in a different chapter of motorsport, whether he'd go and do Le Mans or whether
he could do Le Mans for Ferrari.
He could do, yeah, facts. I mean, they've just won. They've got the fastest car there. Maybe that's what he meant. Did we actually specify he meant the Ferrari F1 team?
Well, yeah. So I think kind of both, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I mean, Charles was there at Le Mans supporting Ferrari, and Charles said he would love to do Le Mans. He said, why not? I would love to. It's an incredible event for sure. One day in my life, I want to tick that box. The difference is Max already has two world championships, is inevitably going to get a third this year. And even that alone, let alone another, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, another 5 years after that, potentially five more, maybe even, you know, two, three more. Like, Leclerc's like won a few races, but he's been nowhere near a championship yet.
Yeah.
And I think if the regulations do their job and close it up at the front, you know, if Leclerc's going to win a championship, he's going to have to beat Max, unless Max leaves. He's going to have to beat, you know, Russell, Norris, Hamilton, Alonso, all of these top names who hopefully will have top tier machinery by then. So it's going to be a big challenge for anyone. Like, again, the idea is that we don't get this level of domination, but obviously where Max is so good right now, maybe Charles will have to wait until after Max leaves to get a shot at, because that's going to be an opportunity. Like, if Max keeps driving the way he is and Red Bull keep dominating the way they are, then it must be difficult for these other drivers to think that, fucking hell, how do we beat him, man? Like, do we just have to try and get his P45 in early? Like fake it and send it to Christian. Be like, oh, like, sorry, he's avoided the contract. Definitely came from his official email address.
Someone get Nick De Vries on the phone.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Dress him up as Max.
No, because the whole law thing that he was going through.
Oh, yeah, true.
Get him on the phone.
Get him on the phone.
Get him involved. Sort him out. Just be like, right, cool. Just draft up some terrible contract that Max will sign involuntarily.
Well, the thing is, like, I joke about it, right? But so Rosberg's talked about this. We obviously know Nico Rosberg. You know, he retired after the 2016 battle where he just about beat out Lewis Hamilton. And he, you know, quoted after saying, you know, the intensity of that kind of took a bit of the love out of it for him.
Yeah.
So he's quoted saying, and this is regarding Verstappen potentially retiring early, where he said, I won't go on for very long if every year is like that. Those battles are so fierce and intense. It takes a lot of the fun away as well. And Rosberg chose to leave the sport at the same age Verstappen will be at the end of 28. So They would both be the same age if Max does leave. But then Max started when he was 17.
This is the thing, yeah. You know.
So, like, fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see why he wouldn't leave.
I mean, his career would have been, maths, 13 years long.
Maths. Sign him up.
Probably still wrong.
He's like 12/13 years long, even then.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like probably what, double the average of an F1 driver.
And again,
that comes, like, and goes, you know, it's
his motivations. Like some drivers have motivations to, you know, their family, to other projects, other businesses. I mean, what was it? I think it was Jarno Trulli. Might be Jarno Trulli. Trulli or Fisichella. I think it's Trulli. He's got a vineyard, I think.
Yeah, and he was just like, I just want to make wine.
You got the bag, like, just live your life.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, and the older you get as well, the more, like, the reality of the danger you're putting yourself under and the flying around the world. Yeah, of course, it's a very privileged life, but at the end of the day, like, you know, any sports people can choose to do what they want. Some want to do a Kimi and carry on racing until they're, and until they start to lose that edge.
Yeah.
And some want to do a Rosberg. So it will be interesting. I do think Max will retire after 28. I'm pretty certain of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I don't know, but
he does know. This is exclusive. This is a Last Lap exclusive right now.
Exclusive. I'm channeling my inner Max right now.
Yeah.
Do you think Rosberg regrets it, though? Because he doesn't seem to... I mean, he's a top-tier YouTuber now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Do you think he regrets it?
He's one of us. I don't think he does, man. If it was a situation of he fell out of love, like, I didn't know that quote, to be honest with you, off the back of the battle and the intensity of it all. For me, whatever you do, if you do something that you wanted to in that moment, then it can't really be like a regret.
Yeah.
Because if in that moment he needed to just, like, give it all up, he wanted to just focus on his family, that's what he chose to do, then I don't think he can have a regret, even if he could have gone on and won.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You know, more championships or whatever.
Yeah.
From that outside perspective, of course, yeah, maybe it would be a regret because it kind of seems like you just kind of won something and then went, all right, I'm dipping. But, you know, if he just wanted to chill with his family, then
yeah,
it is what it is.
You know what, that's
fine. I'm sure
fine.
He's fine.
Like it must take a lot of that, lot out of, especially to get to the top.
Fact,
you have to be so, like, absolutely nailed on.
Yeah, I mean, when does your career start? It's well before F1, realistically. It's, you know,
yeah, man, of course,
seven, going in a go-kart, like traveling around the country you're from or round Europe doing karting events.
Yeah, you're
or
not
whatever,
bad
you know,
at school, like, you're not socialized in that way.
Yeah,
like,
I know, whole life.
That before, like,
yeah, exactly. Fernando Alonso has probably been doing racing of some kind now for about 32 years.
That's what I mean. He loves it.
Loves it. Yeah, but he'll get home from an F1 race and then go karting when he gets off the flight. And it's like, bro,
he's got a karting track at his museum.
Yeah, exactly.
So he'll just go a few laps whenever he's like, it's crazy. Man. That's his way of unwinding, which is lovely. And I feel like Max is that way. Mm. It's just he's interested in other disciplines of motorsport because at the end of the day, the sport is motorsport, not F1.
Yeah,
another driver who. Mick Schumacher.
Yeah.
We've talked about him a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about how, you know, Toto Wolff trying to get him a seat somewhere doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Toto said he doesn't expect Mick to race in 2024. It looks like 2025 might be the earliest opportunity. But there were interesting quotes from Franz Tost, who is the soon-to-be departing, but is not departed yet, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Hasn't left AlphaTauri yet. He went on record saying that he wanted Mick Schumacher in that seat instead of Nyck de Vries alongside Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah. That must be fun for Nyck de Vries.
So this is the quote, right? It's quite interesting at the end. Mick Schumacher didn't secure a cockpit for this year. For us, it was then open after Pierre Gasly's situation came to light. So it's basically saying they wanted to keep Pierre, but then Pierre
wanted to go Alpine.
So like, cool, right, what are options? He, as in Mick, is significantly better than he is currently perceived in the outside world. It was rejected, though. So the powers at Red Bull, the higher-ups, rejected his desire for Mick Schumacher.
Right.
We now have Nyck de Vries, and there's really nothing more to discuss.
Nothing more to discuss means that there's a lot to discuss. That's crazy.
Don't tell us not to discuss in France. Like, yeah, exactly. Do you want us to talk about it more?
Yeah, who are you to tell me not to discuss that right now? We'll do it now.
What I wanted to ask, do you think there's any... Because France doesn't need to address this at all.
No.
But he's chosen to say this and put this out. You've got a driver, Nyck de Vries, currently in that seat, who's struggling somewhat.
Yeah.
Do you think France just doesn't give a fuck now and he's just saying what he wants to say? Or do you think this is like an intentional like means to be like, get your ass in gear, Nyck? Because I wanted Mick.
But I'll be honest, I think it might be a combination, honestly. I think it's partly trying to galvanize Nyck probably a little bit. I think that's an interesting way of going about it because if anything, I think if he wanted to do that, he would have been better saying, we have a lot of desire for Mick, like, da, 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 I think he's a good driver, whatever, da, da, da. Because then it insinuates, Nyck, listen, boss, if you don't get this together, Mick Schumacher's chilling in a Mercedes role right now, we could go get him. That's more motivational, I think, rather than, we want a Mick Schumacher, but I guess we'll settle for Nyck de Vries. Because now, if I'm Nyck de Vries, now I'm just depressed. Because now I'm just like, oh shit, well, he probably knows he wasn't first choice anyway because...
No. They wanted Colton Herta.
Well, yeah, of course, yeah.
So de Vries knows he's at least third choice.
Jeez, man. Cheesy peeps.
That's where it kind of... It makes it somewhat... maybe just hindsight because he's doing well in Super Formula. It is interesting that Liam Lawson wasn't more considered because he did have the Super License points for it. But at the end of the day, this is why, for Colton Herta to be first choice, then Franz Tost wanted Mick Schumacher, but then the powers that be decided for Nyck de Vries to go in. And again, look, at the time, and still even now, with benefit of hindsight, I think de Vries has deserved this shot at F1. Mm-hmm. And he's still given to the end of the season, given to mid-season, and see if there's a upward trend in his performances. I think there needs to be an upward trend by mid-season for me. But that just adds to the whole, if Red Bull senior management were the ones really pushing for de Vries, then surely they were hoping that he would be able to be that number two to Max long-term.
Yeah.
Because he is younger than Sergio.
Yeah.
Surely.
There's got to be some kind of plan for what de Vries was going to go on.
Why would they be pushing for that move so...
Yeah.
Which, that's not a very Red Bull move. especially that junior team, they'd rather just sling in any old rookie who's just about got the Super License points, give them a go, sink or swim. If they don't do
then
it,
then there's someone else that can get it. Yeah.
But they went for a 28-year-old.
Yeah.
So to me, that only, I don't know, I could be wrong, but...
No, I agree.
That's the only logic I can apply to that one at the end of the day. But
what do you think Mick... If Mick was in that car this season... What would his performances be saying?
I think he'd be doing better than de Vries is.
Yeah.
Because he's just got more recent F1 experience.
Yeah, I think that's almost a given because he's ultimately been... Yeah, he's been in F1 for 2 years before this season. He's driven this type of car before as well. Boom. Yeah, calm. Would he be doing better than Yuki though?
No. No, he wouldn't. Yuki coin to the moon, mate.
Yuki coin. Yeah, no, Yuki coin is right now. Yuki coin is up.
Look, I mean, maybe in points, because again, Yuki's come so close and just got fractional points so many times now. Mm. his average finishing position, like the points don't reflect the performances, of course. But yeah, no, I think that it's really difficult, isn't it? That whole like deserves term, right? Mm. Like Mick had 2 years, didn't really take his shot, particularly in that second year. You know, he did what he could in first year. It was a terrible car.
Yeah, terrible car. Teammate, but yeah, that second year was the one where he kind of needed to really grab it. And
yeah.
It's all right, but it just wasn't, you know.
And it's like if Mick gets a seat, then some other youngster doesn't get a seat.
Yeah.
Like a Liam Lawson or a Zane Maloney or a Yumi Uwaso or Alex Palou. Or, like, I could literally say so many names who I think deserve a seat.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, this whole pressure cooker that is F1, it kind of... It feels at times like it's a bit inhumane, the way like drivers are just like coming super pressure and tossed aside.
Yeah, yeah.
But it kind of like has to be that way because there's so many juniors who won't even get a sniff. So like...
That's the problem. You know, every year you've got a evolving field of like F2 drivers, 26 of them, whatever, that are... pushing to get into Formula One. There's just not enough seats. You know, when you've got someone like Max, who's going to be there for like 15 years at a time, Charles, Lewis, Fernando Alonso, George Russell, Lando, that's already like Sainz. There's about 7 or 8 drivers on that grid who are just locked in for 10 years, like at a time. You won't see them leave. You won't see them go. You won't see them move on. You won't see them lose their seat. They're just there. That's almost half the grid.
Yeah.
So you've got 25 kids a year, because often like the fucking F2 field half the time sweeps just completely changes.
Yeah.
25 people a year, roughly, competing for about 11 seats every year.
Yeah.
Forgetting about even the F3 drivers or IndyCar drivers that are probably good enough to do the job as well. If you then started being like, oh, go on, Mick, we'll give you another chance, whatever, it just gets so stale for me.
Because 90% of the time, maybe more, F1 is the dream.
Yeah.
But like F1 is the aim that all of these kids are going for. And it's because it's, you know, it's the biggest one. Yeah, I'm sure some, you know, they dream to race at Le Mans. They're not so interested in F1, of course. But, you know, so many drivers. I remember chatting to Will Power, right? Who's like iconic IndyCar driver, been in it for years. Australian, and I didn't realize until like I spoke to him, and he was like, yeah, like I wanted that. That was the aim, F1, and it was just indie. Well, back when it was kart back in the day, he was like, that offered me a paycheck, that offered me a payday that I wasn't going to get in racing in Europe.
Yeah,
so then he took it, and now he's become an IndyCar legend. And it's like all of these young drivers are aiming for F1, so it's like I think it kind of has to be a little bit like that, but talking of, well, contracts anyway, Lewis is apparently on the cusp of signing it this week, potentially before the Canadian Grand Prix as well.
There's always this build up with Lewis, isn't there, Phil? Is there
him and Toto? They're like have little whispers in the media.
Like, I don't feel like this happens with other
drivers. When are you going to sign it? Ooh.
Yeah. And it becomes like it's this
Toto,
big...
do you want to come to dinner tonight? Let's sign it together.
Let's sign it, maybe, but like maybe we'll just have a sensual meal. And it's just like, guys, like, cut the tension, bro. Just sign a contract. Every year...
Stretchily.
Man, it's obviously, I know it's because Lewis signs 1 year deals, but like,
Will this time?
Yeah, I think he will.
Do you reckon?
I think the latest set of progression that Mercedes have put in, I think it's convinced him.
But do you think only 1 year?
Yeah.
Would you not sign more if you were him? Because obviously we've got what, 20, so 24, 25, and then 2020. So there's two more full seasons. Mm. Of these rules before the new engines come in.
Yeah.
Potentially then there might be changes to the aero regs and all that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We only know about the engines as such, right? So there might be other changes. So you would think that, you know, he's at a manufacturer team, Mercedes, you know, they had the best engine before and, you know, they don't have that same engine advantage now, but they had the best engine in those years when, you know, Lewis was winning all these titles.
Mm.
So... And now they're showcasing, okay, they're not, you know, showcasing the ineptitude that Ferrari are.
Mm.
And they have somewhat taken a step forward at Catalunya. So why not 2 years? Why wouldn't he sign two?
Again, bro, I always come back to it, man. EP's got to be made at some point. He's got music to make, bro. He's got other things to do as Lewis. No, I'm kidding. No, I do hear that. I do get that.
Do you think it's different because, like, George is his teammate now versus Valtteri as well?
I think it is.
How do you
think
that affects the negotiation?
I think it does, because I think it's that sort of rolling year on year evolution and development of that relationship and that dynamic, and who is the number one driver. You know, when it's Lewis v. Valtteri, Lewis knows going into any contract negotiations, look, boss, I am the number one driver in every situation. Fact. Mm. Boom. That's the negotiation. There's no negotiating. With George, I'm not saying he's going in being like, well, I might be second driver, whatever, but he's probably going to want to be a little bit more... He's probably going to want that contract to evolve a little bit more and the terms of it, when he knows he's got someone that's actually, like, competing with him pound for pound in the same team. I think it just makes sense for him, because I don't think Mercedes are ever going to go, certainly in the next couple of years, are going to go, "Aye, Lewis, 1 year deal's done, but we don't want to sign you at this point."
Mm.
You know, and unless Mercedes try and make a Charles Leclerc move happen, unless Lewis gets maybe word that they're interested in Charles, I think for him, just doing 1 year's, you know, it's fine, because I don't think there's going to be that pressure that Mercedes is going to want to get him out anytime soon.
Yeah,
I'll move him on.
I hope he signs a multi-deal. I do, because, well, in part, I think it's good for him, because I do now think that, I think it's fair to say, Mercedes aren't as reliant on Lewis being in that team as they used to be, because they've got George, and George has shown that he is just as, like, he's right there.
Yeah, facts.
He's doing what Bias could never do.
Mm.
Like, he's showing he's right there already, which is great for the team from a long-term point of view. But also, if we get a two-year deal, then that means that hopefully if Mercedes catch up, we might actually get George and Lewis both in a race-winning car against, like, Max in a Red Bull. Even just those three.
Yeah. Whew. What a battle.
Mate. That would be sick.
Get
please, Mercedes, make a good car.
Aston make a good car as well, and then Fernando's involved. Stroll still isn't, but Fernando is. And then Ferrari, you can just watch in it.
That's the best.
Yeah, you just watch.
They can just watch with the rest of us.
They could just buy a grandstand.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone sits in the grandstand.
You guys just get a Sky Sports subscription. It's fine. Yeah. Don't
just give Ferrari a year off. I think. Give them a year off. Just
that would actually be interesting. Do you reckon? They definitely wouldn't. I don't know if it'd be financially viable.
What?
F1 team just taking a year off. Just going like, lads, we're not coming.
Just a sabbatical.
We're just taking a sabbatical. We want to focus on the next thing. I know Haas did that disastrously.
But that was
like enforced. I want a team to sit down and go, you know what, guys? We're not coming this year.
We're not turning up.
We're not turning up. We've got other things to focus on.
Rent out your slot, because they're saying, what is a billion buy-in? Rent out your slot.
Rent it out. Someone pay me. You guys can race instead for this year.
Cadillac Andretti, that's their choice.
Yeah, because you imagine.
Yeah.
Red Bull just go with board. You guys just do it instead.
Steal the Ferrari seat.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned this earlier as well about Fernando talking about these upgrades that are coming to Canada. I mean, the way that he's been, you know, like I say, we won't be off. That'll be the last time we're off the podium, all this. I appreciate it. I like the confidence. We saw that from him going into Monaco.
Yeah.
And it was a great result in Monaco. Like, is there a risk it kind of backfires? Because Fernando's definitely playing a bit of a game here, isn't he? Like, we should, like, you know, he's the best at it, right? All of this, like, happy, lovely, you know, best friends with Lance.
Yeah.
All of that.
His dad.
Now, all of these little statements, like, gassing up the team as well. Like, I think Fernando's playing, and I think it's a really good game, but I think it's a game nonetheless.
Yeah, facts. No, it is. Yeah, it is interesting. You know what's mad as well? We're going to Canada. He was second on the grid, wasn't he, in Alpine?
Oh, yeah, man, you're right. In the wet.
Yeah, in the wet.
Yeah, of course.
And think of what he can do in that Aston. No, it is all a game with Fernando. Like, that's where you've always got to take what he says with a pinch of salt and, like, always think of a meaning behind what he's saying. You know, he might get angry on team radio for one thing and something similar happens and he's not. And you've got to really piece together, right, okay, why is... Because whatever he's doing, even in the heat of the moment, the heat of battle, he's thinking, like, not actually politically, but F1 politically.
Yeah.
GP2 engine was not just like an outburst of, like, oh, I'm annoyed. It was a,
these lot have had enough time to build an engine and they can't do shit.
I'm taking it into my own hands.
I'm taking it to my own hands and I'm embarrassing them on the live feed. That was like a calculated thing.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever Fernando does, there's always meaning behind
it. The thing is though, I think that his decision making around those things, so like that GP2 outburst was very short-sighted because of the damage that did to the... I mean, they wouldn't even let him race a Honda-powered IndyCar to try and get the Indy 500.
Yeah.
He was going to race in the, and Honda were like, no, we're not having Fernando in this car.
Yeah,
they've changed their tune now. They're more like happy with Fernando now that this Honda-Aston Martin relationship is going on. But that, like, he did... That was calculated.
He did burn
and
breathe.
But he shot himself in the foot. I think he's got better at calculating when and what to say. Because I think most of the time, you know, he's... Any negativity coming out of Fernando has been more directed outwards. Mm. I think that's not what I didn't like. Didn't go down well with me in the past is a lot of that negativity seemed to be directed inwards.
Mm.
And I think that when, you know, he's pushing it out, he's doing great job on track. He's like, trying to pull Lance along with him.
Yeah.
And he's gassing up the team, which is like clearly working because he knows that they've clearly got some unreal minds at Aston Martin for them to, you know, now have the third, maybe second quickest car right now, considering where they were this time last year.
Where do you think they do finish up in Canada? If he's confident they're getting on the podium, do you think it's all air or do you think it's actually...
Yeah, should we do predictions for Canada? Should we do race predictions?
Yeah.
Because I think... I'm just trying to think where... What Canada punishes and rewards into... Because it's quite a mixed bag, isn't it? You've got...
It's all over the place. You've got some slow corners, you've got decent chicanes, you've got... Little bit of quick stuff at the start of the lap. Well, actually, no, first few corners slow again. Yeah, it's kind of a mix of everything. Got long straight.
There's a few medium speeds. There's not really any really high speed.
There's corners. Not really high speed, yeah.
I still think, will it necessarily play into, because again, it is a street circuit. I think Aston will be right up there. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be ahead of the Mercedes in qualifying. I mean, look, Max Verstappen P1 qualifying. Yeah, I mean, Max, Charles, Fernando, top three in quali, I think will be the way. But I could see a bit of a mad race. I feel like we're over. I mean, I know Australia wasn't that long ago, but I think, you know, I'm gonna say this is when Fernando gets his win.
Really?
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm putting it out there. Fernando P1.
B1.
I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say. Lewis P2.
Oh, goodness gracious.
And Verstappen P3 because Max has like an issue or something.
Right, okay.
That's what I'm saying. That's my top three for the race.
How many wins are on that podium?
Look it. Ooh.
About 512.
Probably the most of all time.
Yeah, probably, man. Yeah, no, I hear that and I like that. I like that a lot.
But,
we all know what's going to happen.
What?
Max Verstappen wins the Canadian Grand Prix.
We know we're going to be set
by 84 seconds. No, I'm kidding. No, genuinely, Canada, lovely track, great overtaking opportunities. I hear it. Maybe some changeable weather. Boom. George Russell wins.
Oh, okay.
Pulled that out of my arse, lads. I'm not going to lie.
There you go. Did you see him partying with Grealish? After the,
I've seen Jack Grealish partying every 20 minutes of this week.
George can keep up, man.
Of course, George Russell only drinks whiskey. And George Russell has never experienced the taste of cider in his life. He's never had a Copperberg, I can guarantee.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's from like Norfolk, and that's like cider. Like Aspel's from Suffolk, to be fair, not Norfolk.
Oh, is he from Norfolk?
He's from King's Lynn, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. They always say it, don't they?
He's had a scrumpy. I reckon he's had
a scrumpy. He's probably had a cider.
But not one of the fruity ones.
Yeah, no. He's never gone to a bar and asked for like...
Do you reckon?
No, he goes to a pub and he gets like a strawberry daiquiri. He gets a cocktail. We love you, PR 63.
We do. I've just recently discovered rum and coke, actually.
Yeah, good shout. Nice.
didn't like it, but I do now. What about biggest howler? Who do you think was going to have a bit of a stinker in
bit
Canada?
Of a stink.
I mean, last time on my channel, I said Joe was going to have a shocker, and he ended up having his best race for his F1 career.
So. Yeah, literally his best race. So yeah. If you could say that again for the Guan Yu Zhou fan club. What a guy, by the way. That was a great drive. Sorry to rub it in. Who's going to have the biggest stinker?
Yeah, who's thinking stinker? And opposite. Stinker and
biggest stinker.
Stonker. Because stonks.
Stonker. You know what? I've got faith in Stroll. At home.
To have a good
A good one. Yeah. This is the stonker of the week, not the stinker. Stonker, right, we need to make this a thing. This is the stonker of the week. I'm gonna go with I'm gonna stonks. Go with Lance. Yeah. I think I know I beefed him in the last podcast.
You did.
I think rightfully. I thought people were frustrated at that. I understand he's had some bad luck, but the points don't lie. And his front wing didn't lie when it was on the floor in Monaco. So
you make your own luck in life.
You do. But I trust him at home to deliver the goods.
Yep.
Obviously,
he's got his own stand as well.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. His first points in F1 were in Canada in the Williams, weren't they?
Maybe. Like that. Maybe. That would be good knowledge if that is true.
I hope so. Maybe. Maybe wheel knowledge. I trust him to do the job. If Aston Martin are going to be strong, you know, hopefully he can pull together a good weekend. Stinker of the week. I am going to go for... As much as I like the whole idea of Guan Yu Zhou doing well collectively as a whole, I'm going to do that's Alfa Romeo. Just as a general item collectively.
Just to be...
They stink this season.
Canada last year was their last really good result
because
they both got in the points.
Yeah.
I remember they had a really, really good day. So that you could argue maybe track characteristics favour their package, but...
All four Romeo.
That is... Because it's always just... There's just nothing there to get like... I mean, again, Bottas had damage last race. That's in part why he fell back through the field. But yeah, it's been such fine margins in that midfield. And there's such a like swing as well in... I think stinker, if we say team-wise, definitely. I mean, Haas have just... I've just got no confidence in Haas at all.
So it's kind of boring turn up for as well.
Yeah. They'll turn up for Austria. They always do.
Yeah.
In Austria, quality... But
Austria and Australia.
Yeah.
If it starts with Oz, they'll be there.
They're all over it.
Yeah.
But I just can't see them having a good weekend. I think Lando's overdue a good clean kind of...
Yeah, true. Yeah. Honestly, obviously Spain was so promising.
Yeah.
You know, and then immediately just straight off the bat, just...
Yeah, I think stonker Lando for me, and I think stinker Haas.
Okay.
But we'll see. Let us know if you're watching on YouTube in the comments below. Your stinkers and stonkers.
Indeed.
Does that work? Does that work? Stinkers and stonkers?
I genuinely like that.
Stonks.
Stonkers and stinkers doesn't make sense, but stinkers and stonkers is
good.
That's good. I like that.
Sweet. We're creative over
here.
We're
making moves in the field. Factory.
How long have we been going for? Should we wrap this up here, Niro?
Yeah, I reckon so. Yeah. I reckon so. Great.
Pleasure as always. Don't forget, Sunday, Canadian Grand Prix.
Be there. Canadian Grand Prix, live watch along, obviously on YouTube. We will be there reacting to the absolute carnage that will be the Canadian Grand Prix. I'm just manifesting
after
that.
After the greatest qualifying of all time.
Yes, after the greatest, the greatest qualifying of all time, which superseded the most magnificent free practice race session that has ever existed in Formula One history.
I've never been so gassed about FP1, mate.
Yeah, man.
No, I love Canada. I'm well excited for it. And if you're there at the Canadian, at the Circuit de Villeneuve this weekend, enjoy yourself. Have fun. It's a beautiful place to go.
Yeah, I've not been, but I really want to go.
You should. It's top of my list of recommendations for sure.
All right.
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you are in the world, let us know how great we are.
And thank you very much for listening and watching. 5-star rating on Spotify would be great. Like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. We've got the clips going out on TikTok. Where else can they find us though this week?
Strepsils.
What, inside? Inside the wrapper?
Which I'm going to get one after this because I really apologize for the terrible voice. The nasally voice.
Yes, the illness.
Maybe some people prefer that though.
Maybe.
I know my voice can be a little bit Marm might eat something.
No. I think it's very smooth.
Do you think?
He's got a very smooth presenting.
Operator!
Never mind.
Bye, everyone!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.